Well, Bethlehem family and friends in Christ, last week we gathered and we recognized Reformation Day, which every year is recognized on October 31st, because back in the year 1517, on October 31st, was the recognition of when the Protestant Reformation began, with the 95 Theses being posted on the castle church door. That started in motion, a process in which we thank God for, because it allowed us to have the Bible back in your hands. There were instances in history where to even have a Bible was rare, that you could read God's word in your own, not even your own language. When people tried to translate the Bible from Latin into their own language, whether it's German or English, people were even put to death at the burning at the stake. Families that taught their children the Lord's Prayer out of an English Bible were killed for that reason. So we thank God for the Reformation. We thank God for the ability to study God's word, because it's important to learn how to read the Bible. Today in our worship, we heard our very first reading from that book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. And for a lot of us, it's kind of a scary book because it's way out there with all these symbolisms, all these kind of images of a vision from St. John. And if we didn't know any better, it'd be pretty hard to read if we tried reading it the way we read a newspaper or a different book of the Bible, because it is filled with a lot of symbolism about things that are real. Back in the day, people understood the symbolism. Today, in 2020, we're very distant from it. So let's go back to that first reading, and we thank God that we can understand it. St. John had this picture of eternal life, what it looked like, that he saw a group of people, unnumberable, and angels ascending and descending. And he said that there were a number of people sealed in the fate of God, 144,000 from every tribe of the sons of Israel, 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Reuben. These are all the sons of Jacob, aka Israel, 12,000 from Gad, 12,000 from the guy named Asher, 12,000 from Naphtali, from Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, the list goes on. Now, if you read this with untrained eyes, you end up saying that there's only going to be 144,000 people in heaven, right? That's what modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses believe, in fact. Hopefully, you and I are part of that exclusive crowd, 144,000. Well, we know better because we have been given this gift of God's word. And we know that we read this in symbolic eyes of a literal truth. How do we get that number? 144,000. You multiply. Now, I'm not great at math. That's why I became a preacher. But I can do some basic stuff. You get 144 by you multiply 12 times what? 12. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Now, how do you get 144,000? Well, when you multiply 144, and 1,000, the biblical number of completeness, it's a bookend number, where if you multiply it by 1,000, it's for all times and all people. You get 144,000. Well, where do those numbers 12 even come from? If you go back in time in Scripture, when you read Scripture, you hear of this number 12. Think of maybe where you've heard it. 12 guys, apostles, the 12 friends of Jesus from the New Testament. 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Jacob, Israel. So all of God's people from the Old Testament, all of God's people from the New Testament, multiplied by all of time, you get this number. Meant for you as a comfort to say that it doesn't matter who you are, what tribe of God's people you're from, all of us that believe and trust upon our Lord are going to be there to meet our Savior face to face. Not so scary after all. That's a comfort for us today as we think of All Saints' Day. We remember the people of God. We think and give thanks to our parents, our grandparents, maybe even our great-great-great-grandparents, maybe settled here. All the people that brought us to the loving arms of Jesus, that taught us, that reared us. We remember them today, All Saints' Day. But not only them, but we remember you as a saint. Yes, you can go today saying that you are a saint. Oftentimes we feel the opposite. We feel like a sinner because we are. That's the beauty of the Reformation that has taught us. We are simul justus et peccator, that Latin phrase where we're simultaneously saint and sinner at the same time. That's a blessing because when you go out from these church doors today, that's going to happen. But the good thing is you are a saint. So today we look at the mission of God through you, the people of God, and even those faithful men and women that have gone before us. How can that happen? Well, the last few weeks we've taken a good look at this helpful other book that explains this biblical truth, Joining Jesus. We've had several copies out for free on the welcome desk. There is, I believe, one more still left, so free to take whoever gets it first. But instead of quoting a bunch of lines out of this book, I want to share with you one simple quote. And it's not even a quote from the author. So I'll let you guess who said these words. Let's make the most of this beautiful day, since we're together. We might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? That's, of course, from Mr. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood fame. I enjoyed watching him grow up. But it's a simple truth of what we call being a neighbor. When we think of the people of God and our mission, it starts by being a neighbor. How many of you have neighbors out there? A lot of us, unless you live out far in the country, I think we all have neighbors of some sort. How many of you actually like your neighbor? That might be a harder question. Good, we got some good hands. Think of all the things a neighbor does. Or if you even think of that jingle, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. To be a good neighbor just means to be there for someone. You be a neighbor for a person that you don't even live next to, actually. When maybe someone's down and out by maybe a simple card or sending them a gift, sharing your trick-or-treat candy. But when you share of yourself and your personality, you not only do those kind things, but you share the faith and the love that God gave you. That's what it means to be on a mission for God. It's as simple as being a neighbor. That's why countless times in Scripture we hear, love your neighbor as yourself. Hopefully you love yourself pretty good, but think of how you can treat the same with another person. That's the kind of stuff that we've been trained from those faithful men and women of years gone by. How to be the people of God. How to be a neighbor. How to use that love that you've been given to make a difference still for somebody else. And when you do that, everybody gets to see not only you, but they see the Lord Jesus through you, in you, and maybe even in spite of you. But for today, this All Saints Day, outside of our own selves, I want to share with you another story about how a small country church became a mega church overnight. This is the story of how a small church astounded even the experts on church growth by being packed on a Sunday morning, even in the midst of a pandemic, without even trying. It all began in the gravel parking lot that the church had as people began coming early that morning. The shadow from the steeple cast the image of the cross on the western side. Families from miles around climbed out of their Fords and their Chevrolets to make their way into the church sanctuary. The pastor stood by the front door to greet folks as they came in. He asked about Aunt Susan's broken hip. He talked about the Reynolds' new horse and how the football game turned out on Sunday the other week. This man of God who shepherded his flock wasn't really much to look at. He had a bit of a tummy. He laughed a little too loud, and especially at his own corny jokes. But they all loved the man. And he had baptized their children, buried their grandparents, and even preached a decent sermon on occasion. But by the time worship had been ready to begin, it still hadn't happened yet. That shocking influx of worshipers that I spoke of. In fact, things looked as ordinary could be. The Kirkpatricks, with their five children, squeezed into the next-to-last pew. The organist played softly and hit, well, almost every note. Hymnals were open to the page where the service would soon begin. At 10:30 sharp, the pastor walked up front and spoke the same words he did at the start of every Sunday service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the congregation responded with a hearty, Amen! Then without warning, it happened. The floodgates opened. Worshippers streamed in. Before the congregation had even finished saying amen, this rural Wisconsin mini church was transformed into the mega of mega churches. And here's how it all went down. Through the stained glass windows and the steeply pitched roof, seraphim, angels swooped down from their heavenly perches, each sporting six wings. With two they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And around the sanctuary they chanted to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of this little church quaked at the sound of their voices. And the whole church swam with the smoke of incense. But that was only the beginning. Cherubim winged their way down from their heavenly city. Not those cute little chubby precious moments angels, but manly warriors who stationed themselves like sentinels all around the sanctuary. And they belted out the words to the hymns, and they added their amens to the divine words read and preached that day. But these angels were not alone. With them came saints innumerable, men and women who had fought the good fight, finished the race, and gone on to heavenly glory. But here they were, back at the church on this Lord's Day. They added their voices to the earthly choir that were there, the farmers, the ranchers, the coaches, the teachers, the students who still are trotting the pathway toward their heavenly Jerusalem. And the pews were packed. Standing room only in the aisles. Some perched on rafters. Some peered down with serene gazes to the altar. And there, the wonder of wonders was on his throne. And on that throne stood the Lamb, slain yet alive, sacrificed yet resurrected. Every face of every worshiper, angelic and human, earthly and heavenly, was fixated upon his face. There they looked upon the countenance, the favor of the merciful Lord Almighty. With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, the people of this church of God lauded and magnified and glorified the name of that Lamb, their Lord Jesus Christ. Sacred songs shook the building as choirs wed their voices, and the Lord's Supper was a family reunion. You see, the folks on earth and the folks and saints in heaven dined on this feast of feasts and the drink that slakes the deepest thirst. People gathered on this side of the communion rail met with the people of all ages behind the altar. And it was a day to remember, a day to repeat. And the following Sunday, it would happen again. And then again. This tiny rural church would bulge at the seams with worshipers from realms seen and unseen, all mixed together in the adoration of Jesus, whose kingdom is without end. And that's how a small country congregation became a mega church, literally overnight, without even trying. They gathered around the word of God, ate his meal, and sang his songs. And Jesus showed up every single time, and with all of heaven along for the ride. This little church I spoke of is Bethlehem. This church is every Christian church that gathers around God's word and God's sacraments. This church is the one that you are a part of. And more importantly, one that our long-lost loved ones are still a part of. And even more importantly, this church is the one Jesus is a part of. This All Saints Day, remember that you are not worshiping alone. Yes, there are people watching virtually at home, but you are not alone because you are not only here with the people that you can see and talk with. You are joined with the spirit of every single human being that God is now holding in his arms. And you are joined with the God who holds all things together. That's what we talk about when we talk about saints on this day. And that's the same faith that you can share with one another the rest of this week. Because we are the people of God. And we are on a mission that Jesus is already leading. Remember that today and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.